brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Strap yourself in and get prepared for another suds segment.
Did she say strap in or strap on?
My gosh.
She lost me at strap.
I didn't know this was that kind of a party, but...
Welcome, everyone. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably good... old boy Dave doing another terrible impression.
You know, you can mock him even when he's not here.
Can I mock him?
That's the best time. He can't say anything back.
Well,
it's true.
Okay, that's true, and that's fair. All right. I'm one of your hosts, Goto Gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today, and may I say this is a fine selection of co-hosts sitting at the table, Goto Boy Caperton.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
It's been a while for me.
I know.
I'm back from the cold, literally.
Good old boy Sparky, hi.
Hi. It's really nice to be sandwiched between Jesus, these two
Sparky
guys.
Sandwich. Wow.
Get ready.
Good old boy Timmy.
Ta-da! It's amazing. Ta-da!
I'm back. It's the best. Uninvited. So here I am.
The goat.
I take care of the kid.
Yeah.
I know.
We don't get him that much.
So. I know. You love him so much.
Oh, no, that's not the word.
I love to hate. That's why I come here, though.
Yeah.
Good old boy Dave. Hi.
People been looking at me. I'm just like, what you looking at? Stranger.
That's right.
Some attitude today.
Same. Samesies. We're
bringing it.
Dave's feeling spicy.
He's got the sass, that's for
looking
sure.
Looking at a stranger.
All right. Today's episode is going to be a takeover of Beer Tree Brew, which has three locations in Port Crane, Johnson City, and Binghamton, New York. Kind of part of that whole Southern Tier-y kind of thing. I picked these up on a trip back home to PA and can't wait to try them. Mm. Hey, good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us a bit about Beer Tree Brew?
Sure. Let's talk about their three locations. So their original location and home to their pilot brew house is The Farm. It offers an experience like no other. The timber frame tap room with exposed trusses provides a warm, rustic yet refined experience. How is it rustic yet refined? Those are like
polar opposites. When was the last time you exposed a truss?
Well, that's true. I don't wear my truss.
You'll
anymore.
Probably figure that out.
Hang out in the back tap room by the fireplace. Enjoy our craft brews on the deck, overlooking our expansive property situated next to the
Shenango.
Thank you,
Shenango. Nice save. Shenango. I was just trying to figure that out.
There is no way. I was like, Caperton, I can't believe
me. I was like,
crap.
He's gonna go right off the cliff.
Spend the day soaking in the sun in our beer garden and playing yard games in the field. Our in-house restaurant features our twist on Mexican-American cuisine, while being most notably known for our Foxy Fries.
Man, I don't think I've ever heard of a brewery that has like a Mexican-American food lineup, but that's
kind
of
cool.
Perfect.
And Foxy Fries. Come and discover your roots with us today. Flip from a former Sears building to a state-of-the-art restaurant factory by Beer Tree Brew is Beer Tree's second location, home to our 20-barrel brewing system and our primary production and packaging facility for all Beer Tree brews. Our two-story building features a beer hall downstairs, an open-concept restaurant upstairs with a wood-fired pizza oven, and a 3,500-square-foot deck. Hand-painted murals and floor-to-ceiling windows complement our modern industrial-inspired architecture. Equipped with 24 tap lines, we can assure you we'll keep the good times flowing.
Oh.
Downtown by Beer Tree Brew is our newest location, a contemporary cafe, tap room, and restaurant nestled in the city of Binghamton, New York. Been there. Our cafe features state-of-the-art. I've been to Binghamton. I haven't been to this place. State-of-the-art equipment, custom roasted coffees, and has an array of fresh baked goods to start your day. Just start your day with beer. Home to the only rooftop beer garden in the area. Mm-hmm. Offering indoor covered and uncovered spaces, perfect for soaking in the sunlight and moonlight. Ooh. Yeah, if your area is warmer weather days.
Your trust.
Ooh, you naughty boy. You will be immersed in an elevated experience filled with views, beer, beer trees, craft brews, New York's something, ciders and cocktails, stay and modern American, whatever. And I'm already tired of reading this. And modern American plates. Whether you can need a fresh top of coffee or a cup of coffee for your morning commute, a bite to eat, or a specially crafted beer after reading a whole lot of words and a hard day's work, downtown has you covered.
That's
wow. Says the guy that wrote the script.
I copied and pasted.
There's a lot of information there, though, guys.
There was.
So they really packed it in.
I'm still soaking it in, actually.
So yeah.
I like stopped that. Listening at yard games, though.
I did too.
I tell you, I just wonder if it's like Craftsman kegs that they, is this like right, true right. Sears Roebuck that we're talking
they
about?
They got good tools
there. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
cool.
All their tap handles are old wrenches and stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you get a Craftsman tool replaced now?
Got sold off to Ace Hardware and stuff
One of their things you could bring in?
Yeah.
This ratchet doesn't ratchet right anymore.
My granddaddy bought this ratchet back in 1947.
They made good on it. They made good on it. Now they're out of business.
So. Yeah. I think you can bring them to Beer Tree Brew, actually.
That's true. You get a free pint with every ratchet you bring.
That's a big tree they're rocking here. There's a lot of. For sure. There's a fancy cafe.
Yeah. Well, they have a farm, you know, and that's kind of a pretty cool trend you see in different parts of the country. Like, you know, obviously Rogue.
They glossed over the farm a little bit.
Yeah. What are they doing on the farm?
They didn't say what they're growing. Yeah. You know, that's true.
Yard games at the farm, I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
yard darts.
I got two raised beds in the backyard. I guess anybody I got remember? A farm.
Yeah. The ones that killed people.
Do they still do yard darts? Probably not.
You can only do that in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the 70s.
During
man.
Certain seasons. Like,
Here's a big pointed thing. Go throw it that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you're already drunk. You know, let's throw some hatchets and the deadly darts. Let's just do it all.
They switched the hatchets. Yeah. It's safer.
Oh,
it's safer.
They have, haven't they? Yeah.
Well, but it's like with the yard darts, didn't you have to throw it into a ring?
Right.
And it was kind of like a horseshoe.
It was
right?
Or into another person. Yeah. Either
doink,
one.
Doink.
Yeah.
If that person was standing in the ring, though, you got double points.
That's fair. Yeah.
You're just declared the winner at that point. Everyone called 911.
When you're so much blood. When your opponent can no longer continue, you're declared the victor.
Yeah.
There can be only one.
Okay.
The victory tourniquet.
Wow. So.
Okay. Moving on. Oh, and by the way, I just looked at the website and the farm just looks like a really nice indoor outdoor space. It's not that farm I was thinking of, like, hey, are there fooders there? Yeah. Are there like brewing that kind of
tree,
stuff?
If you're not going to grow stuff, don't call it a farm.
Not an estate brewery.
Yeah. But I think, it looks like a beautiful space, and probably if you're trying to get away from the city, you know, and do something a little bit
like a wedding venue.
Yeah, and it could be.
Is it rustic and refined?
Yep.
Does it
ding, ding, ding.
Did anyone how much expose their truss?
There's a lot of trusses. That okay, are exposed.
Modern industrial. Mm-hmm. That means they didn't spend any money.
Dusting it off. Exactly. That's what exactly what that
threw
means.
Threw a roof
dusted
on it.
And dusted it off.
Get a leaf blower, blow out the dust, and you're good to go.
We're more bang for your buck. Yeah.
Customer care center from the CES. All right.
Good old boy Sparky. Why don't you channel your inner New Yorker and give us today's lineup?
Oh, man, there's so many different New Yorkers. All right.
Pick your favorite one.
Oh, man, I'll do the best I can.
It'll be better than Mike, so.
Yeah.
True. Ooh,
that's, yeah.
No, it's fair.
It's 100%.
All right. The Beatrice will be trying today, Cat Daddy Double New England Style IPA. Cloudy Haze New England Style IPA. Color Trees New England Style IPA. Chromosphere New England Iced Tea. I see a trend forming here with New England style IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Or Science of Extraction New England style IPA. IPA a lot.
I like that.
That's good.
I thought that was good. It reminded me of a James Cagney movie from the 40s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a little bit of Teddy Kennedy mixed in.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I was going more towards Boston, right?
Oh, okay.
Little Irish Boston, yeah.
Okay.
Dig it.
It was good. I tell it was like a little Long Island, like a light Long Island.
You know, I have a good friend from Long Island, and it's pronounced L-A-N-W-G-U-Y, L-A-N-D.
Long Island?
I think you should probably take the stairs. I was worried about you.
I like that. That was good.
That's nice. I like that. All right, moving on. Good old boy Tim, do you mind giving us the suds ratings?
Yeah, we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds that I hope you're familiar with. And these are the ratings. 1, that sucks, give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, what a relief.
Sounded like somebody wincing in pain.
4, a body should really not make that sound.
I don't know how to work the buttons.
And if Dave can click 5, listen to that hang time, give me another.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm not sure about 5, but here's 1.
Banned.
It's number 3, though.
Banned once again.
3? 3 is this guy.
Oh, we'll get to the beer after this brief interlude.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. All right. Time to get to the beer.
Now we're getting
about
to
time.
We are doing a brewery takeover from Beer Tree Beers. Beer Tree Brews. Boo. Say that 10 times fast.
No.
From the Southern Tier region of New York. And the first beer that we're going to talk about is the Cat Daddy. New England style IPA, clocking in at 8.8% ABV, brewed with Mosaic and Mosaic Cryo, Mosaic Incognito, Idaho 7, and Southern Passion. Well, what do we think of it?
I mean, I guess they ran out of types of Incognito hops to add to the brew, but Dave's happy about it.
Yeah, Mosaic.
Yeah, so definitely picking up plenty of Mosaic.
Lots of the Mosaic.
That's good. It's always a good thing.
Yeah.
It has a nice juicy aroma.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's, you know, definitely
juicy.
It's definitely very smooth.
It's like true to style.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
But you said the name fits too, Caperton, right?
Yeah, it's a little catty for my tastes. Yeah. But yeah. I like that they owned it. That's, you know, there's their hop selection there. But
that's a lot of hop.
And it's more of like a cat pee than cat litter box. So that's
good. Yeah. Well, at least it's a number one and not a number two.
Especially if you're a cat lover, you know, you might really.
The cat took a number one, not a number two.
This is good. It's soft. It's billowy on the tongue.
Yes, you definitely get that, like, you know. Well, that's pillowy, billowy mouthfeel.
Yeah, that's an important hallmark of a New England style IPA. It's got to have the mouthfeel.
That's almost what I look for.
It's amazing to me that there are all these places I've never heard of, and then you try. You know, I don't think these beers travel that well, but the style really.
Sometimes you find a good one. You know?
These kids are getting it.
What do you guys think about these easy drinkers?
Oh, and yeah. Hey, Juliana, would you like to put in your two cents on this?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's let the little lady speak.
You were over there doing stuff, okay?
Forgive me for trying to keep the radio show going.
No big deal.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Juliana, please tell us what you think.
Does it taste like home?
Oh. It kind of does. Actually, yeah. It's what I like about this is it's not too super juicy in your face. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little over that part of the NEPA thing.
Juicy.
And this is nice. I like the, it's pillowy, it's soft. It's like all those things you would expect. But I like the kind the semi-dry finish at the end that you know, I can appreciate and enjoy that
cattiness or whatever that I referred to actually gives it a nice little balancing bitterness.
Yeah.
There.
No. It's perfect.
Just a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It's makes subtle, it a little more complex. Yeah. But it's there. Yeah.
It keeps it from being too sweet.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's 8.8%.
Whoa. I mean,
it doesn't feel like that. No, it doesn't at all.
It doesn't at all.
I mean, I get a little alcohol note, but
it's kind of like hiding in some of the sweetness there.
Get down, beer tree.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We are going to rate the cat.
What about...
Juicy.
That was a look. We need a camera for this look. Yeah, yeah.
Just be glad it's radio, guys.
Okay, so we are going to rate the cat daddy.
Sure.
A 4.
Good start, beer tree.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, well.
Next, we are going to talk about the Cloudy Haze. Now, this one is a... minimal 5.8% ABV.
That's a little different.
A lot lighter in color, safe to say. And it's a silky smooth NEPA bursting with tropical aromas and filled with exotic fruit flavors.
Such as mango!
Man, there's something funky on the back end of this.
Something funky on the nose.
Like 3/4 into it, there's something weird that happens.
Do you guys not smell that? It doesn't smell great.
I thought it smelled sort of candy-like, but maybe.
I'm just glad you're serving this cold.
I don't know.
What's this one called again?
Cloudy haze.
That's original.
It's like a rotten aroma or something. Let's taste this cloudy haze.
Oh yeah, I'm totally getting that. It was weird.
Now see, this is.
It's not terrible. It's odd.
Like a rotten what did you smell? Like, I didn't get it.
I did, but it was only on the third time.
I don't know. I got like not to sound dorky, but I got a little sanitizer. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Kind of like garbage.
You know, like,
it's
kind of like garbage.
Like light garbage.
Yeah, like not like.
I'm not trying to be mean or anything. It's crazy, but it's like
I don't get garbage.
No, I'm getting it like kind of like, not like you just put something stinky in, like your kitchen trash, but there's nothing stinky in it. And it's just kind of like.
Maybe that, like a weird hop character.
Yeah.
I get
nothing offensive on the nose here. I don't get anything offensive here. The only thing I think is offensive here is that here's a nit I'll pick.
Uh-oh.
Is that I, as a fan of smaller beers, I like it when a beer, when you say this beer's 5.5%, and you taste it and you go like, geez, you know, this tastes like a 5.5%.
Yeah, this could be a 5.0%.
This is very, very
When you compare it to the last one, especially, you're like, oh, huh.
So that's a hard granted. That's a hard line to walk, but, thin, like but it's saying. A little it's thinner. It's
It's I think the decision to try these super cold and fresh was a great idea.
I do too. I like where we have a
Whoop whoop.
So I guess we could mention that, but we're drinking these beers.
I mean, I don't get garbage. I don't get sanitizer, but I do get the. It's definitely a fall off.
Yeah,
but again, 3%.
It's not bad, right. but I don't get anything particularly. It's like so soft. It's like nothing really stands
like,
out.
Yeah, I don't get much of anything.
Yeah, I don't get much of. I don't get much.
I am still getting like 2-3 quarters of the way to it. Like in my palate, I'm starting to taste something kind of strange that drifts off into the end. And maybe as it's warming up, that's what I'm getting from it. But it is kind of weird. But yes, I can still feel my molars, unlike the previous one. Thanks, alcohol.
Okay, yeah. That's good. And maybe it's just the fact that the first one was so juicy and so big. And now you're coming into this one. Your palate.
This one didn't feel huge, but this one feels small.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good. Yeah. Definitely.
That is also what she said.
Yeah. That's good. Cloudy haze. That's another that gripe I've got is these guys, and we're about to do this too. They either go with cloudy sort of names or vaguely pseudoscience-y sounding names. Like we're doing some.
Yeah,
doing some science up here like on these NEPAs.
Well, and not to be hokey, but Equilibrium isn't too far from Johnson City and Binghamton. So you know,
there you go.
There's sciencey peeps,
nerds
up that way. Yeah, you know, and then there's Hudson Valley too, which is.
But this is a good beer. Yeah. Like it's a good beer. It's a summertime.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could actually drink more than one of these. Without, you know, ending up in your own fill like the other one.
Pee like a racehorse. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, if you're somebody that doesn't like super juicy beers, this may be a good candidate for you. Then
for
sure.
Good intro.
Maybe this
hazy, maybe.
Yeah.
And definitely less pillowy than the first one. Like you don't get like maybe pillowy, billowy like Caperton was saying.
Maybe it's more of a New England pale ale.
Definitely. Is.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I could totally go with that.
I respect a pale that comes across, you know, as owns its own.
As a pale.
Yeah.
I mean, I like pale ales.
Even if you don't get any weird notes in the aroma, do you get any like hops or
I just don't get a lot of anything.
Yeah. That's kind of that's what I think. It's like a
vague, it's like a vague sweetness.
We're left wanting.
What NEPA has no aroma? Like obviously it's been dry hopped at least.
Yeah. You should get like a punch.
That's just, that's what like sets off the alarms in my head. It's like, here's a NEPA.
But again, like I say, what's these beers don't travel the greatest, but they seem to have held up really well.
And maybe what
it is. I think this is a fair representation.
Maybe at their base, all NEPAs smell like garbage to Tim. Mm. But if they have enough dry hopping aroma and stuff coming off,
cover up
it makes it better.
And for the astute listener, the garbage is different than the dirty dishwater that we've referenced.
Tim's Tim was like, it's not terrible, but it's terrible, a little bit of garbage.
That is garbage light.
Like it was just this timid sort of like, I want to say this smells like crap,
it's like,
you know.
It's like garbage in wintertime. Not garbage in the heat of summer.
All right. Well, we are going to rate the Cloudy Haze from Beer Tree Brew a 3.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I made cabbage soup and then I forgot to put it in the fridge overnight. And it's not bad.
I mean,
yet.
Who hasn't been
it's
there?
It's not bad yet. But it's like, you're kind of like,
you're on the borderline.
It's that special fermentation that happens overnight.
Garbage.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I think it's story time.
Story time with Uncle Sparky.
Yes.
Got it. Why King Charles III coronation celebration meal will include a parasitic fish from the U.S.
What?
Ooh.
It's a thing, guys.
Oh, boy.
Strap in.
What?
Not strap on. Here we go.
Boo.
Some traditions are made to be changed, but it appears that King Charles III's coronation celebration won't stray from the past. Charles has some particularly dining habits, but his coronation celebration, whenever it happens, will hew close to history with a menu that includes an invasive parasitic fish from the United States. King Charles's diet and meal regimen is very strict. Charles's swollen fingers raise concerns about his health from some royal watchers.
But Camilla loves them.
Oh my God. Harumph, I say.
That's the king, dear sir.
Turgid fingers.
Oh, save the king.
Don't speak of the king.
Oh, God, I wonder if she'd say that in the middle of it. Oh,
okay. Oh, your majesty.
Sorry.
Too soon. Yeah.
Eating too many salty foods could cause swelling, but Charles's diet doesn't seem to be the culprit. Mm-hmm. He prefers to skip lunch, but Charles usually consumes a healthy breakfast that includes fresh fruit, healthy grains, tea, and a boiled egg.
And spam.
No, that's spam.
I'm really disappointed.
Sounded, yeah.
Spam it, sausage spam, et cetera, et cetera. Since he doesn't eat lunch, Charles relies on some of his favorite snacks, and that's F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T, snacks, to get through the day until he can sit down for dinner. It could take several months before Charles's official crowning and coronation celebration, but it seems one traditional royal dish will be on the menu. Charles's coronation celebration will include a traditional lamprey pie with fish shipped from the U.S.
Lamprey.
Lamprey eels. Yeah. Yes.
Lampreys used to thrive in English waterways, but industrialization rightly nearly wiped them all out because they're disgusting.
Right.
It seems the fish migrated to the Great Lakes, where the parasitic invasive species decimated native fisheries. Problem? Meat solution. Lamprey pies have been a staple of formal royal celebrations for centuries, but the fish in the dish remains a protected species in the United Kingdom per the Joint Nature Conservation Commission. The JNCC added it to the list of priority fish in 2007. The Great Lakes Fishery Commission, which has provided its unwanted lampreys to England for major royal events.
We'll kill anything. Yeah. We don't care.
And they'll eat anything. Yeah. Filthy. Anyway, we'll do so again for Charles's coronation celebration, as Yahoo reports. The last time the GLFC sent a batch of eel-like lampreys to England was for the 2015 ceremony celebrating Queen Elizabeth's reign. King Henry might have died in England's Middle Ages from eating too many lampreys. Gloucester used to be required to send a lamprey pie to the monarch every year. Yahoo writes, King Charles carefully follows his preferred diet, but it seems he'll stick to the royal tradition with the meal at his coronation celebration. And this is why Britain has never led the world in the culinary arts.
Yes. Yep. That maybe spotted dick.
Or cloudy haze would pair well with
that. Oh, it would be delicious.
What does lamprey pie even taste like?
You know what? I bet eels are the bomb.
I bet they are.
Yeah, I mean, like when you're having like sushi, right? I mean, eel is like quite tasty.
It is a disgusting pie? Creature to look to behold.
Okay.
True.
Okay.
It's like a slithery.
We saw somebody make them once.
Like they have
on TV.
Parasites within them.
No, it's an invasive parasitic species, so they basically jump into our lakes and like wreck invasive. Everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay,
and wreck all the other fish.
That was,
I know that eels are big in Norway. They fish a lot there.
Yeah,
huh?
Friend of mine.
Don't they eat fermented fish though, too, or is that Sweden?
What's lutefisk? Who's got that? That's the most disgusting thing.
Yeah.
Maybe
smells like rotten fish. Maybe that's
because
what
it is.
It smells like cloudy haze.
So Charles, let's get back to Charles the Third
and his big fingers.
Not
a little pork sausage.
I'm
not impressed. I don't see it.
No,
I don't see it.
Imagine waiting until you're 75 to start your gig.
Yeah,
right? That's gotta suck. Like
that dude's been waiting.
Give him a couple years. He'll enjoy it, and then maybe he'll
when your mom's like, "No, you're not ready. No, you're not ready."
But mom,
I can do it, mom.
But it's my turn, mother. Mommy,
please.
Yeah.
It's my turn, Mommy.
The royals are.
Well, you know what? We just lost King Charles as a fan. Sorry. Yep.
Banned in England.
Once again.
Oh, man. That's
just. Let's just hope he doesn't end up like Charles
I. I don't know. Are they listening to the New England IPA show? Are they.
Maybe.
They drink hazies over there now?
No, that's old England IPAs.
Lamprey.
Okay, I think it's time for another beer. Let's
back
just,
to the
yeah. Let's
back to the brewskis.
Yeah, no offense to Thanks. All right.
Well, thank you, Sparky.
I just want to get you guys up to speed because I just don't know how your eel game is going.
I was kind of hungry there for a little bit, but you
timely as well, you know.
Yes, timely as well. Okay.
Yeah. I don't smell a lot on this beer either.
Well, yeah, the one that we're going to talk about is Color Trees New England IPA, 7.1% ABV, NEPA, brewed with two-row barley, wheats, oat, milk sugar, hopped with Amarilla, Citra in the Whirlpool, and double dry hop with Idaho 7, Citra, and Belma.
I like the flavor of this.
And yes, this contains lactose.
You can tell.
Wheat, that's why oats, milk sugar.
That's the sweetie sweetness. Okay. Now I like it less.
What's the ABV on this bad boy?
7.1.
Okay.
They do have pretty, their beers look pretty.
Yeah.
The colors, they've had kind of
they've got that
colors.
Like nailed.
Yeah.
Belma is that the strawberry one,
yeah.
right? Yeah, because I'm tasting strawberries. Definitely. Okay. Okay.
Like which, Velma as in, like, did you say Velma? Like as in
Belma.
Yeah. Oh, Belma.
Belma is in the hot.
Velma always tasted like strawberries.
Yeah. I was just going to add that. Well, yeah.
It's the glasses.
I remember when Belma first came out and we were judging a homebrew competition and I tasted a beer that was like just solely hopped with Belma and I was like, oh, this is strawberry jam. This isn't a beer.
That's cool.
This is weird. And then I wanted to brew with it all the time.
Did you?
No.
Oh,
never, never again.
I was really excited. Now I'm not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a roller coaster ride she took you on.
I know.
To the tops and then down.
So, okay, good color, right?
Yes.
So you think the milk sugar in this one adds? Is it necessary?
Makes it sweet. I don't know.
It's a lot of sweet.
Right.
Sweetness on the end there, isn't there?
I don't know if it's necessary.
How's it taste, motherfucker?
I don't think it's like as... It is very sweet, but I also don't think it's like as crazy as I've had in other ones, like other milkshakes or something.
Yeah, I've had some that'll like give you.
I like this though. It's
I still like it. I just don't like the fact that it has lactose in it because I'm a lactose.
I think it's a bit
bigot.
Too sweet. I mean, like not definitely like overly sweet, but just leaning towards that particular side of it.
It's on the edge of too sweet for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think
but I love over. The flavor. Like I love the strawberry jammediness of the hops and stuff.
I just don't know why really I don't get more aroma.
Yeah, that's true.
I think as it warms up, it will probably pick up on that a little bit.
The downside of cold beer. Yeah.
Well, okay. And that is a downside. I mean, you want something that's fresh. You want the hops to like, you know, pop and be like in the forefront. But then aroma wise, as a beer warms up, you get more and more layers.
Absolutely.
Aroma. So there's your trade-off. Well, we'll be back with more musings in just a minute. Juicy.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone.
Thank you.
So today we've been doing a brewery takeover of Beer Tree Brew in the Southern Tier region of New York. And the beer that we were talking about right before the break was Color Trees New England Style IPA. So this one has a little bit of milk sugar in it as well as wheat and oats. And we had like a little bit of discussion over keeping an IPA cold. It preserves the hops, but then you don't get as much aroma. And then as it warms up, you lose the hops, you gain the aroma, and there's a fine line in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I mean, I still would like, I mean, look at these hops. We got Amarillo, Citra, double dry hopped with Idaho 7, more Citra, and Belma. And even if it's cold, I want to get like a little nose on it. Yeah. You know?
I think that maybe the lactose covers up a little bit of that.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Some of these hops are new too, you know? Like they're definitely working the new kids mm-hmm. into these beers. And
yeah, absolutely.
And maybe that it could be those, I mean, maybe Belma's just not a big
Yeah,
strong
I go
nose.
Back and forth on Idaho 7 as well.
Yeah.
Do you guys know, like, I know this was like the worst summer for growing anything anywhere on the planet. Like, have you guys heard of anything of like how that's impacted the hop industry or the hop crops? Have you guys heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the yield is a bit lower.
Oh, man.
Per field, but
is it just the heat? In the dryness?
Yeah, it's been just a very, like, one of the hottest, driest years we've ever had. And, you know, even if things grow, even if you're harvesting stuff, it still changes the profile of them versus a year that's a very wet or a more moderate, temperate year.
Sure.
You know, obviously the wineries are dealing with all the fire-related stuff, soaking up all the, like, right. I'm sure we're going to have Rausch wines coming out. It's like an unintended thing. But
has the alpha acids gone down in... Tim, this year, like for for all of your brewing that you've done?
No.
It really hasn't changed.
I haven't noticed that as much. It is harder to get contract, like it's harder to get contracts, so it's harder for them to plan. So also if you want like specific varieties, you people like need to lock that down because it's the demand is more.
Yeah.
But there are like growing more and more and more hop farmers everywhere. So okay. I have also heard that, you know, if you're not tied to particular
distributor or farm that you
particular
can
hops.
It, okay. Okay.
You know, you can kind of just.
It's probably why so many people up. Like just rotate hops too.
Yeah, get what you get.
What you get.
Yeah, and I know people have been burned by contracts. So if you're not like a huge operation or you're not tied to specific beers, and the problem is beers change so quickly and consumers want different things. So. But yeah, I mean, the climate has wreaked havoc on like grain and hops. Absolutely.
Yeah, God, with
prices are way up. So if you're paying more for a pint,
I was gonna say the Ukraine thing. I mean,
didn't help anything.
Right.
So all that wheat, especially. But you know, there's more people in the U.S. growing grain now. So
good.
That is good. It's improving as well, and it's gonna be about the same cost with like shipping and. That sort of thing.
Start brewing some all corn beer.
Yeah. Mm. Get on it. Corn can.
Is that what we're is that what we're calling?
Juice.
Can of corn. Can of corn.
Yeah.
Try a Nipah with some corn.
Yeah.
Gross.
Cream corn.
You'd skip the sugar.
Has anybody ever brewed a beer with cream corn?
That's one of the off flavors, right? What is
it? Oh, yeah, it absolutely is.
That's DMS.
Yeah. That's DMS for sure.
Dimethyl sulfur. Yeah. It's from like,
It's a grain. Feature, not not a glitch.
I was going to say, make that as a noted feature of the style.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
we meant to do
low
that.
Levels are acceptable in certain pills.
Yeah, certain styles. It's expected. Good old, just lean all the way in to Del Monte. Yeah. Cream corn.
Good old CPA.
DMS Colada.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry.
I know.
That
brings back memories. Oh.
That might pair well with lamprey pie.
Ooh. You know what? Maybe that will.
It would. Takes the bite right out of the lamprey. Yeah.
corn ale and lamprey pie.
You can drink all your off-flavor beer with the lamprey pie.
Yeah. That's not they'll just chase each other around your stomach. Yeah, it'll be great.
All right, so we are going to rate the Color Trees New England IPA a 3.
Nice. That's pretty good. I'd like to see the non-lactose version of it, though.
Yeah. It's odd. I don't usually like the sweet beers.
Or like,
but I did like that one.
You know, use more oats instead of lactose.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
get some sweetness. Use some more oats, maybe.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, that's...
That's a choice.
I know, exactly. Now, this one, the next one that we're going to talk about is the Chromosphere New England IPA, 7.3% ABV. Interestingly, this is the most expensive beer per can of the flight, which is clocking in at like $7 a can.
What?
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. The things I do
What's
for
it
you
got
guys.
In it?
Okay.
Supply chain.
How did they figure that?
So the second of the three layers of the sun. This is the second of the three layers of the sun's atmosphere. A juicy fruit bomb with notes of tropical citrus. Grab your shades as you drift off into the chromosphere. Brewed with soft white wheat, flaked red wheat, flaked oats, and two-row barley. Double dry hopped with Citra, Strata, and Mosaic.
It's all that Mosaic. That's why it costs so much.
Must be. I thought it was juicy fruit.
Less smell on every one of them as we go here.
Yeah. Well, you are getting over stuff. So
yeah, I am. I will say that I'm getting over a sickness. But we're all getting over
the same sickness.
I can smell these little goldfish.
The first one smelled great.
It smelled great.
And it was cold. So
yeah.
It was.
The cat daddy.
Yeah.
Cat daddy.
$7 for a 16-ounce can of beer?
No, 12-ounce.
What sort of witchcraft?
Double
good grief.
That is juicy.
Is that made out of unobtainium?
Hey, it...
Kids these days, get them off my lawn.
Saying, okay, but to be fair, hops and grain all cost a lot more. And
they do.
Right.
This is a 7.3, and look, guys, so plenty of grain. And
they're paying off that craftsman section in the series. That's true.
Okay, but
I mean, their farm place would just be rustic.
These downtown locations in Binghamton, they're not free.
Yeah.
Okay, but also, like, to be fair, think about what the alchemist charges, what Treehouse charges, and Trillium and Hudson Valley,
that Pliny was $5, maybe $7, $6.
Okay, but that's California. I'm staying on this.
Oh, yeah, California's cheap.
It's really cheap in California.
They've got a 20 barrel system too.
There's something about hazies that I don't know. People just charge. It's a lot of hops. I think you can't deny that.
It's a lot of hops.
Double dry hopped with three different hops.
Are expensive. Yeah.
It's tougher to make. And I think that, it obviously commands a market value. Same thing as with the pastry stouts, man. You can just slap whatever price tag you want
on it.
And a lot of them do.
Yeah, okay. So we can't pick on the brewery, more the industry or the
culture. And if it was like a $7 can of lager, then I would flip this table and just take my monocle and top hat and right out of here.
Right.
I mean, it is good though. The beers, I like this one.
It is good. I'm starting to really drill down here though. And I'm looking and where does Strata play into here? Some of these hop selections now, I'm thinking they're just going to throw a curveball in there somewhere. It's like Mosaic and Citra, two well-established, here's a little Strata for you.
Boom.
Well, maybe some of that filler. I don't know that I get any sort of uniqueness
from that, but it's good.
It's a good beer. Is it, would you feel differently about it if you didn't know it was $7 a can?
Yeah. Mm. It's like that cloudy haze, but not as thin.
And I mean, you definitely get the softness of the wheat in there. I mean, there's certainly that aspect.
There's a lot of softness that
and
you
kind
of expect.
They definitely have that dialed in. Yeah. I mean, they really
do.
They do.
But the thing that I've always had issue with Strata is that it's so... It competes in your mouth because you've got
whoa.
Pineapple. Okay. No. There's isn't Strata that's got three
like a riot
key
in there.
Components that are just
a little different from each other.
Right. Yeah. You've got a pineappliness.
I don't remember exactly.
And then you've got the berry, dark berry,
there's a berry
currant
component
thing.
For sure.
And then you got menthol. Who wants menthol in your hops?
Well, if you want, smoke menthol a pack of Cools.
Yeah. Minty,
that's how I got the chocolate in my peanut butter.
Let me get a pack of what I am's,
I know, but I don't necessarily. When I make a pineapple tiki drink, I'm not actually adding menthol to it. You know what I mean?
Depends on what cigarettes you're smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, because that could really. No, I'm with you. I see what you're saying.
So that's why I'm just like
on that page too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so
you know what? At least we're not talking about their use of Pop Tarts or something like
that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's amazing in its own self. Right.
Like, why did they have to use all five flavors of gummy bears? You know,
hold back.
Yeah.
I don't, you know,
and why frosted?
Kind of to her, you know, kind of to Juliana's point and Caperton's point. Sometimes I don't really get why breweries feel like they have to make a hop salad.
Here's your little.
Like, you know, there's some really great single hop beers.
Yeah, man. You know, that's a great point.
It's rare for NEPAs, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, well, for yeah. sure.
For sure. NEPAs, for NEPAs, but like, but like if Strata has all these different things going in it or going on.
It's like they stick to the script on everything else, though. It's like everything's got a little mosaic in it, you know. Everything's got a little citrus in it.
And maybe too.
Like a little blank security.
And here's
blanket.
Here's a little Belma.
You know, just blew your mind.
Maybe, you know, like
how do you like me now?
You know, like you put some citrus in there because you know, you want that like sort of orange kind of grapefruit.
Yeah.
And then you like layer some Strat or something on there. But like, I guess it's more to the point for me. Like when people make a beer with like seven different hops, and I'm like,
has there ever been a smash NEPA?
Yeah, not many. I mean,
I don't think you could do a smash because you have to have like some oats. Like you can't do a single grain.
Right.
You know? Oh yeah, that's true. A true smash with the grain would be
that would be really hard. Difficult.
But a single hopped NEPA.
Yeah, I feel tough, like breweries. But... You know, you feel like you have to have at least three hops in there.
Did I ever tell you guys about the NEPA that I brewed real quick?
No.
I tried to brew a zero IBU beer. That's local. What? A local brewery had one. They claimed as zero IBUs, and I was like, "Oh, try that." Everyone hated it, but I really liked it. And I think that if I brought that sucker out now, you guys would.
Was it just dry hopped?
Yes. Yeah. Nothing in the boil.
No boil.
Interesting.
Wow.
Even the whirlpool.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how'd you keep it from getting infected?
I just got lucky.
I think.
I still have a bottle of it though, but it had a lot of Nelson was the new hop. They used a bunch of that in it, you know.
I think you should brew a New England Saison ale.
The original hazy beer
with kudzu edition.
Did we rate this last beer?
No. We're about to.
So I'm curious what we come
okay,
up with.
Okay, so the
here.
Chromosphere New England style IPA. We are going to rate a 4. Yeah.
Why not?
I'm actually a fan of it.
It is a good beer.
Yeah.
As it's warming up, I'm getting so much more malt from it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I didn't detect any of that at the beginning.
Is the Cat Daddy the other four that we've done so far?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked that one.
I think
Cat Daddy was the strongest one.
Looking at it,
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I agree.
Yeah. It's not just because we're fans.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So. One
more question.
Yeah.
What's a chromosphere?
Chromosphere.
It's the second of the three layers of the sun.
We're going to hold you back in class, bro.
How disrespectful not listening to Juliana.
We were sciencing the crap out of that.
Dave was distracting me.
In our defense, he's got kids, you know, like nobody knows what the heck, you know.
I don't even. Let's not even go there. Just smart. You want to see like the 5,000-mile stare.
What are the other two layers of the sun's atmosphere?
The photosphere.
Heliosphere.
There's a photo. I think a photosphere.
Heliosphere sounds right.
And the sun sphere.
Yeah.
And
it's only in Knoxville, though.
Your deadosphere.
Your deadosphere.
That's funny. That's funny. Knoxville thing.
Swig storage.
It's a Knoxville joke.
Wow. Okay.
The big orange sphere.
This is vaguely sciencey.
No one knows.
Okay.
Okay, well, didn't you say that things are vaguely sciencey?
I guess in that neck of the woods, it is.
Well, these NEPAs, they love to throw that stuff in there, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So the last one that we were going to talk about from Beer Tree
Science
Brew
Extraction
is a Science of Extraction New England style IPA. 6.6%
collaboration.
ABV. Yep, it's their collaboration with the New York Hop Guild. During this brew process, they utilize mash hopping, allowing them to extract and unlock the most intense, desirable aromas within the beer. So, what do we think of this one?
It's not that hazy.
I know what it smells like.
Oh.
It smells like pencil shavings.
It does.
I told you. Yeah. I got this one. I got this one.
Oh, my God.
I can even smell the eraser.
Yeah. You're in elementary school. You're cranking that thing. You're done. And then you get that big whiff
that comes right in your face.
Beautiful. Mash hopping. Whatever pencils
they're,
are
they're,
made of.
They're sciencey guys, these guys.
They are.
They are.
This tastes way different than any of the others.
Yeah, there's no comparison. This is a totally different beast.
They didn't.
I'm really liking this though,
this
because
beer.
I get this like apricot softness on it.
Interesting.
But
yeah,
then I
yeah,
get
yeah.
the forest,
definite
and I
forest,
like
yeah.
the blend.
A forest of pencils.
And look at the color. I mean, this is
the color's
not like
neat
the
too.
Others at all.
Yeah,
yeah this
yeah,
is
yeah.
a very different NEPA.
All right, what are we gonna rate it?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to rate this one a 5.
Because this, yeah, it checks a lot of boxes here.
Oh, this
They
one
don't
is,
tell us
yeah.
the hops on this, though,
or the,
unfortunately.
Much about the grain either, right?
No, just that it's got juicy hopping. Cantaloupe, hints of pineapple, apricot, passion
hey guys,
fruit, and a light touch of pineapple.
The New York Hop Guild was involved. If they
yeah.
told you, they'd have to kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is trade secrets.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. I think this was a cool episode.
It was.
Really was.
Yeah. These beers
yeah.
were interesting.
Really
yeah.
neat.
All right, good old boy Caperton, thanks
yeah,
for being here.
Certainly.
Good old boy Sparky.
Always a pleasure.
Good old boy Tim, thanks for listening to me today.
Thank you. Well, let me know when you figure out the other layers of the sun. And I've never smelled pencil shavings in a beer, so that's
yep.
checked off my bingo card. Thank you.
Good old boy Dave.
Oh, you pretended to be gentle, but you weren't.
No.
He's still sassy.
He's always sassy.
Sassy.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling, and we will catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback. And you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.